from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Red Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now in the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're the man, and you got the team, and you're ready for the big hour. This is it, buddy. This is the start of it, finally, at long last. It will be the debut.
We got tackle football tonight. They've got tackle football tomorrow night. They're going to – I mean, how about that? The NFL decides to take on high school football on a Friday night.
You're defending high school football? That's my job, Brad. Are you really afraid of them – polluting the Friday night lights?
I just think it's kind of tacky that they're some people are going to have to choose, and but the NFL they're going to play on a Wednesday on Christmas. Greed knows no boundaries,
right?
The return of the NFL is exciting, whether it's on a Thursday, a Friday, a Christmas Wednesday, whatever. Let's bring it on and enjoy it.
I think you're exactly right. So in that context, you'll be watching tomorrow night, correct? Are you prepared to make any predictions this year? We just shared our predictions for the Super Bowl. Wondered if you have already filed yours or if you're willing to share.
Oh, boy. Can the Chiefs three-peat, right? Like, that's the...
Sure.
That's the team you want to watch, and you talk about the talent at the quarterback position in the AFC. A lot of young guys, right? Joe Burrow, Lamar, who we'll get to see play against Patrick Mahomes tonight. Detroit, can they take another step? I just think San Francisco's had a lot of injuries. They've had a lot of distractions, and they've got a lot of veterans there, so maybe the 49ers can kind of navigate the long season. Sometimes when you see this many things go wrong, and they've had, some injuries, right? Didn't they cancel a joint practice because they didn't have enough healthy guys? I'm not talking about Ricky Pearsall's situation or anything of that nature, but it just seems like there's been a lot of noise around the 49ers, but that's a wildly talented roster. So, I don't know. I might have to get back with you guys on the prediction tomorrow after I watch the game tonight.
Awesome. Can't wait.
You can't spring it on me at the last second.
I'm sorry, Brad. I just thought you maybe had filed for the Tribune, but...
You probably didn't want to hear my baseball commentary. That's all right.
You're right. I didn't.
So Brad, we know that the injury report is out. We know there are six names on it. We also know that all were limited in practice, but two were not able to practice earlier in the week. Who's in? Who's out? Who must be in? Montez Sweat and Keenan Allen spoke yesterday. Seems like a good sign that the heel's not that serious.
Yeah, I think I look at that injury report, and the one that I'd have the most questions about as you look ahead to Sunday, Zach Pickens, the defensive tackle with the groin injury, right? I would almost be surprised if he's available for the game. I just think that he could be a little bit further off. Maybe I'm wrong, and that would be a good thing for him and a good thing for the defense, but that would be the one I think that would be most concerning when you're asking the question of, like, who might not play on Sunday. And you know, they might not have Karan active, the rookie offensive lineman, because of their numbers. But I think health-wise, he's in the right spot. So all things considered, especially when you factor – you know, they don't have a lot of action on injured reserve right now. It's a pretty clean injury report for the first one of the season, the Wednesday of week one.
So, Brad, when we talk about Sunday, how good is the opponent? Do you have a sense? Do you know what to expect? Because first-year coach, you never quite know how quickly he's going to get things going and how much they might be a surprise.
Yeah, and that's the big question. Right, is what are you going to encounter? And you think you got a pretty good idea because Brian Callahan's got a track record and you're interested in seeing what he can do with Will Levis at quarterback. Remember what the Bengals got going out of Jake Browning when Joe Burrow was hurt?
Yep.
You know, Callahan was there. They've invested in the offensive line, which was a weakness for that football team. And so you're sort of curious there. And then on the defensive side, they get Denard Wilson, who was a Bears pro scout from, I think it was 2008 to 2011, and then jumped to the coaching side, working his way up from the bottom of the ladder, a quality control guy down in St. Louis for Jeff Fisher, was still with the Rams when they went to L.A. Then he's had stops in with the Jets, with the Eagles, with Baltimore a year ago, and now he's a 42-year-old first-time defensive coordinator who tucked people around the league that have been around him, and they think he could have a head coaching position in his future. So what are you going to get from him? Well, it's a 34, so he's going to be able to disguise some things from Caleb. Caleb's going to have to diagnose where that fourth rusher's coming from at any given time, and you think, having watched what Baltimore's done, that you got some ideas. One thing that was impressive with Caleb yesterday is you got a rookie week one, and he's pinging off the names and or numbers of guys
that was good
that are on the opposing team. Yeah. I mean, that's sharp. That's dialed in. You can tell he's been studying his material, right?
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. Aren't you just anxious to get it going? I mean, I hear you. It's great.
Oh, yeah.
Every time the guy talks.
Training camp started forever ago.
It did, didn't it? I mean, it feels like.
Right, and it's just like you can only talk about it for so long before you're kind of ready to throw up your arms and say, okay, let's see it. Let's talk about actual game action. The preseason is, we know it's not indicative of what you're going to see from a team, a unit, or even an individual player. Like, there's just so many different challenges that they're going to face, and let's see them do it for real. Let's enjoy the game tonight. I mean, sure, you got a game Friday, Sunday night, Monday night. So there's going to be plenty of football before we get to. Imagine how much football we will have all enjoyed by the time we get to Tuesday morning, which isn't far off.
One of the most overlooked defensive players, I feel like this preseason, as much as we have talked about it, as much as we all are ready for kickoff on Sunday, DeMarcus Walker is a guy they paid a lot of money to last year to come and make an impact. He's playing against his former team. He's likely to start opposite Montez Sweat, Brad. Is that going to be the plan? And then move inside on maybe nickel pass rush. What are reasonable expectations for DeMarcus Walker in this preseason in this opener, and then maybe a sack total for the season?
Yeah, sack total for the season for Walker, I think, 4.5, right? He had 3.5 a year ago. I think that would be reasonable.
You should see the look you got. You should see the recoil from Mr. David. 4.5 sounds correct.
That sounds low. That sounds like
modest. He had 3.5 last year, Dave. And in 2021, he had 2. In 2020, he had 4.5. In 2019, he had 4. His first two seasons in the league, he had 1 each year. Now, he had 7 in 2022 for Tennessee. That was with them doing a lot of exotic stuff, a lot of schemed up stuff, a lot of, it wasn't like you put the tape on and you talk to scouts, you say, hey, they got this guy with 7 sacks. And the scout would say, well, you got to look at it a little bit. It's not 7 snaps where he's lined up on the edge and he defeats the tackle and gets to the quarterback. I think, if they get 4.5, right?
I'm shrugging. If you're a top 5 defense and your starting defensive end has 4.5 sacks, I'm shrugging.
Well, you're the one that said top 5 defense, not me. I didn't hear Molly say it. Like, they've got a lot of things they got to get better at to go from middle of the pack to, and that's where it's gotten a little crazy with this defensive discussion. Is early in the off season, I'd get mailbag questions or you'd hear people talk and they talk about the Bears and the ability to be a top 10 defense. Okay. And you're like, yeah, if they make some gains in these specific areas, your pass rush, not giving up the yards per attempt that I think I mentioned on the air earlier in the week, getting better in the red zone, some of these things, I could absolutely see it. Them being a top 10 defense. They got to go out and do it, but I could see it. I think they got the personnel to do that. The conversation in so many places is shifted to top 5 defense, and I'm looking at it, and they took the quarterback at 1, then they came back and got the wide receiver at 9, they took the offensive tackle in round 3, they did add the 31-year-old safety in Byard. Like, how have we gone from taking the defense from a year ago and it being a top 10 discussion to now top 5.
The answer would be they drafted touchdowns. So they will now put people situationally in. If they score more points, teams will have to throw to score against them.
Well, now here's one stat, and I don't have it handy, but I can tell you the range for it, because last year they were tops in the league in rushing, right? And so I thought that one of the reasons that their sack total was so low, they had 30 sacks, they were 31st in the league, was that they simply didn't face a ton of pass attempts, like in comparison to other defenses that they were trailing, especially through that first half of the season, right? They've got a 2-7 record. A couple of those games are lopsided. So I said to myself, well, opponents must have been running the ball. There's fewer opportunities to hunt the quarterback. I looked it up, and again, I don't have it handy, but the Bears were top 5 in passing attempts against them, right? So there were all sorts of opportunities to hunt the quarterback. They just didn't get there. You're hoping that with Sweat, with the new guy, Daryl Taylor, with an improved Jervon Dexter, that these are some players that'll produce and will allow them to play to a level where, you're talking about this being a significantly improved defense, a defense that can fit securely in a top 10 discussion or maybe in a top 5 discussion. You know what? Beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
It
but
is.
I just think it's gotten a little out of hand going from top 10 to top 5.
Here's the other thing, Wet Blanket. I think that when you look at the quarterbacks who they're playing, the schedule gives you an opportunity.
Yeah.
They're playing
a
couple of rookies.
Totally.
Bryce Young.
Yeah.
You look at down the road, there are chances for this defense if it does have a lead or if it does have complementary football.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be better.
The Mike Sando quarterback tier story, he did a follow-up. The Bears have the second easiest schedule in terms of the quarterbacks they'll face in his tier.
Right. Therein lies the confidence. That's why.
And that's where that's the way I always try to attack the schedule every time it comes out, guys. You're looking at helmet logos and team names, and I'm picturing the quarterback, right?
Yep.
What quarterback do they have to go up against? The schedule sets up nice, and that's why I answered in the mailbag yesterday. I just want to know straight up, is this a playoff team or not? And I think it is. And one of the reasons for confidence is the schedule sets up nicely for them. If you look at your friend of the program, Mike Florio's week one power rankings, take the bottom 8 in the Pro Football Talk power rankings. The Bears have 7 games against those 8 teams. Now, the power ranking could look completely different in week 6 or 8, right? 2 of those teams could be real darlings. I don't know. I'm just saying right now, as you look at it, you're like, yeah, they're probably not going to be very good. Okay, Florio's got them there, whatever. His bottom 8, the Bears have got 7 of their 17 games against those teams.
I talked to a friend of mine who's out west, and I talked to him a few days ago, and he was cautioning me that your offensive line better be good with Caleb Williams because he holds the ball. He'll hold the ball now. And I'm like, dude, you have no idea what holding the ball looks like. But every Bears fan or anyone who's watched this team knows what holding the ball looks like.
And there's a difference between holding the ball to create a run and creating a pass.
Exactly.
Well, he's still going to have to be mindful of it, guys, because the walls are going to close in on him more quickly than they did at USC. And that's, as I talk to different people and I've talked to guys that I have normal contact with during a season that I usually don't chit-chat with a ton in the offseason, have been reconnecting with those guys in the past 10 days anyway. You know, what do you think? What have you seen?
Right.
What would you look for? And yeah, it's how does he play? You know, can he play on time and make some of these big plays as well? What is it going to look like? How will he handle the tighter windows in the NFL? Like, it's fascinating, and I think you're just going to get a glimpse at it Sunday against Tennessee. Like, as great as C.J. Stroud's rookie season was a year ago, and we talked about this multiple times during preseason, how he was horrendous in the preseason opener for the Texans last summer. You go look at his season opener, and they had a tough opponent, a tough task. They played Baltimore. I think they lost the game 26-7 or something like that. But Stroud, the completions, yardage looked normal. He didn't throw a pick. I think he lost a fumble and he was sacked 5 times. And you're looking at it, and you're like, well, you know, he turned it around. Went over 4,000 yards. Mind you, I think he missed 2 games in late November or early December, so he did it in only 15 games, and he had a great season. So we're just going to get a glimpse at Caleb on Sunday, and it's going to be a long season with opportunities to sort of chart growth and understand how he's fitting in with the pieces around him.
All right, Brad, we'll get your football predictions tomorrow, but I want to give you 30 seconds. What did you think of Craig Council pulling Shota Imanaga after 75 pitches with a no-hitter? You are a baseball guy. You have hot takes. What was yours?
75 or 95?
I'm sorry, 95.
95.
It was 95 pitches, 7 innings.
Yeah.
What if it was 74? What if it was only 40?
What did you think?
Yeah, I think this late in the year, if you think you have a puncher's chance of using Shota in a wild card series, I think you got to pull 95 pitches.
That's surprisingly rational. Good take.
Rational. Dave, you and rational baseball conversations haven't been together in a while.
Great stuff, Big D. We'll talk to you
tomorrow.
You're
the best, buddy.
Have a great day, guys.
Oh, my God.
I just wanted to know. He's a big baseball guy.
He's a great baseball man. No question.
I think he's on the right side there.
I think what's interesting to me is, you know, he talks about connecting with people and going back and talking to different people. When I talk to people about the Bears, the two things that they say most often has to do with the line of scrimmage. It is, I don't think anybody's worried about skill positions or whether the quarterback can play in the NFL. I think it comes down to the offensive line and the defensive line.
Still football. It's still football. That's the thing that will dictate this season as much as the quarterback. You have to have certain givens. You have to have certain things that are acceptable premises. You got to be able to protect the quarterback, run the football, and stop the run.
And they didn't really add an off-season upgrade on the offensive line or the defensive line. They added a couple of centers to try to change that position.
Yes and no. Let's talk about that when we come back.
All right. Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It's exciting. It really is. I'm excited to see him, and I'm excited to lean on his teammates. You know, lean in and lean on his teammates, because that's what you have to do as a quarterback. He's got guys around him that have played a lot of years, and again, he's a rookie. So he's just been leaning on those guys and, getting the ball to those guys and let them do their work. We have to do a good job of protecting him. But he's just leaning in and leaning on his teammates.
Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 the score. That is Bears coach Matt Eberflus talking about his starting quarterback, the rookie Caleb Williams, ready for the debut come Sunday afternoon.
Rookie in name only. I think when you hear him talk, he doesn't sound like a rookie.
He is a rookie.
He's a rookie.
He's yet to play in the NFL.
No doubt about it. Yeah. All season long, that's going to be true. He's going to encounter things for the first time, and there will be struggles, and there will be inconsistency. There will be things that remind you he is a rookie. He doesn't sound like a rookie when he's at the podium, as we heard yesterday, when he was talking about the Tennessee Titans, and he was describing them like a veteran who has a long documented history of film study. Numbers, no names, doubt. Tendencies. You know he has done his work. He works like a veteran. He is a first guy in, last guy to leave type of guy. You like that. Now, back to the conversation that we were having about the Bears, because Caleb Williams is what makes them different.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Williams is something they have never had,
no doubt.
Theoretically. The offensive line and the defensive lines, though, are still going to be the two units that dictate the course of the season more than any other, I think, is what you're saying. And I don't disagree with that. I do wonder if we have different expectations for either side of the ball. My concerns about the defensive line stop the run, but they'll get to the quarterback. They'll have leads. It will be lesser. It'll be a lesser concern than it has been in recent seasons.
Right.
Offensive line, I think they're going to be able to run the ball. I do still worry about protection.
Well, I you know what was interesting to me is the idea again talking to NFL people about the idea that they didn't really change on the offensive line. Now, I guess Pro Football Focus had them listed as like 11th best in the league, something like that. I don't know.
Seems high.
It seems high.
Seems high to me.
But they are, you know, Braxton Jones remains the left tackle. Tevin Jenkins is the left guard. Nate Davis is the right guard. And Darnell Wright going into his second year as the right tackle. The difference is the fact that Coleman Shelton is replaced, and I don't know who you want to say, whether it's Cody Whitehair or whether it's
Lucas Patrick. Combination of both.
Okay.
He replaced a hybrid center combination center.
And the combination of they made an offseason trade for Ryan Bates, and he has not been healthy. So there hasn't really been a competition at the center position, and I'm not even sure he is a center. But it's just interesting, David, that the offensive line is pretty much the same unit with the exception of two would-be centers replaced by two would-be centers.
It's a good point. It's undeniable, and you can't really argue with the personnel because it hasn't really changed. So what is different? This is what's different.
Mm-hmm.
We all know how, and I want to be fair to the predecessor. I want to be fair to Justin Fields.
Okay.
But that wasn't a strength of his in terms of being able to help yourself be protected. A quarterback can be like a half an offensive lineman, or you can upgrade your offensive line by having a quarterback that anticipates pressure and has you in the right protections. And it didn't always appear that was the case with the Bears and Justin Fields. Maybe that's improving with Caleb Williams. We'll wait and see. He is a rookie, as you point out. I do think that the two things that are different that we have to factor in, and you hope it's a positive for the Bears, you hope that it is an improvement or an upgrade, is the recognition and the ability to process quickly at the quarterback position in mm-hmm. the pocket, and the ability and the football intellect that Shane Waldron brings to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
To keep your quarterback out of harm's way schematically. Because that also was something that Luke Getsy did not necessarily, I wouldn't consider it a strength of his. I'm not going to put all of this on Getsy because I think that tends to be too easy and lazy to do. But Shane Waldron offers some improvements there that could help the same offensive line protect better.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair to expect? Is that reasonable? The combination of Waldron and Caleb?
I mean, here's the thing. What you're saying, too, is that they improved their skill position players. And Justin Fields never had the opportunity really to get the ball out as quickly as you would imagine
that
Caleb
too.
Williams would.
That, too, yeah.
And so I think that there are other complications to it. Yeah, I was talking to a guy who was saying that when he looks at a quarterback, he wants to know how many attempts did he have in college? And he's hoping the guy had 1,300 attempts because it means he's a 3 or 4 year starter and he got like a lot of work done in college. So I went and looked up a Caleb Williams, which is worth doing for a couple of reasons, not the least of which is that it just reminds you of how young he is and how much he's played, but the fact that he transferred, he missed a year, and the fact is he could have come back had he wanted to. If he was looking to prolong his college career and he was ready to come out and he was they were eager to get him out. But he had 1,099 passing attempts. And just to compare that, I mean, there are you know, I think Mahomes had like 1,369 or something when he was at Texas Tech, but for his career in college, both at Georgia and at Ohio State, Justin Fields
came into the league with 618 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
So basically like half the number, right? A little bit more than half
and
the number of attempts.
That was obvious.
And you know, frankly, I would say, I haven't looked it up, but I would say that means Stroud didn't have a hell of a lot of attempts when he was at Ohio State because he was behind
right.
Justin Fields. And I think when you think about different quarterbacks, that number very like obviously, I think Drew Brees threw 1,000, whatever, almost 1,500, maybe more than that. And when he was at Purdue, he just threw the ball all the time.
Sure, it's an interesting number. It's a good threshold, I suppose, that you want to surpass. I'm not worried about
Caleb
Williams having enough experience to handle.
I think he has enough. I'm just saying, he is a significantly. Mitch Trubisky came in here. He had basically started a year. I don't know what his college numbers were. Rex had a lot of college games under his belt,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think there's any comparison between the two players. I'm just saying that when you think about guys that have had immediate success, whether it be Peyton Manning or Mahomes, usually they've had both the Manning brothers played a ton of football in college. I don't know that Tom Brady didn't play a ton of football in college. So I don't know if that means anything.
Every situation is different, I think. That's what it means. It means that you can want to have those kind of arbitrary numbers and figures and experience levels, and then you have exceptions to the rule, and there are always going to be those. I think C.J. Stroud, to some degree, could be an exception to the rule.
Yep.
Last year, the way that he succeeded and the way that he rebounded from a tough opening his own debut.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Fields last year, I think, revealed that he needed more experience. He didn't have the pocket presence or the feel. That's what we're talking about.
Yep.
Where the Bears improved in that degree. I think Caleb Williams has got to prove the one thing you worry about with him and the one thing that could really, take the most time to adjust to is how does he handle pressure? 1,099 college attempts gives you reason to believe he is seasoned and savvy at doing that. At the same time,
he's seen a lot of defenses.
He's seen a lot of three-man rushes and eight-man drops.
Yes.
I think that's the one thing you wonder. That's not going to be the case in the NFL.
No.
How does he handle the first time out of 3-4 look? He thinks that they're playing one thing and they're doing another, and here all of a sudden, boom, here comes a rusher that was coming free, didn't expect. Can he get rid of the ball quickly enough? I think he'll adjust to that. The one thing you like is the way that he processes information quickly. That does seem to be, as much as he holds on to the ball, as much as Brad is right about that, he's doing it for the same reasons that Justin Fields was doing it. He wants to throw the ball.
And he can make those throws. He can throw the ball. 312-644-6767. Don's on the west side. Hey, Don. Hey, Don.
Morning, Don. We lose you, Don?
Don's a good caller.
Call back, Don.
Call back.
All right.
Let's try. There's another Don. He's in Chicago. Hey, Don.
Hey, this is the Don you want. I was at the game last night, guys, with my son. And when they had Pearson in for Shota, I started to worry. A lot of people were booing. But I tell you, I'm glad those people who were booing, they weren't coaching my kid in Little League, throwing his arm off. I think council made the right decision. I got to see last night a no-hitter in Wrigley, which hasn't been done in, 50 years?
52.
It was a complete, total butt-kicking. I mean, total domination. I'm not sure I'm ever going to see a game like that. You had almost PCA and Dansby almost hit for the cycle.
Right.
I mean, it was a domination. It was a great game, and I'm still celebrating it.
You should. You're not going to see that for another 52 years, maybe, at Wrigley Field. PCA was like an inch away from having the cycle. The ball that he hit that would have been a triple, and it would have been a triple. It bounced, and I think if they would have looked at the replay again, I think it hit the line. It might have been a fair ball, but they didn't challenge it.
And Dansby was a triple short too, right?
I think so.
But he wasn't.
He's been hitting much better lately. There are things you look at from last night, you're like, wow, they won 12-0. They can get excited again. Oh, they're back in it. Oh, then you look at the standings. Oh, by the way, the Braves won and the Mets won. Thank you very much. Fun night, though, at Wrigley. You can hear it in Don's voice. There was an excitement level that I think you didn't expect to have when you go for a random Wednesday night September baseball game. If somebody was going to throw a no-hitter at Wrigley this week, you might have thought it was Paul Skeens, not Shota. That's why I went Tuesday. I should have gone Wednesday instead. I blew it.
You did. You wanted to see the opposing pitcher.
I wanted to see greatness.
And you did, but you missed greatness because it was on display for the local team.
Yeah, I know.
The night later. All right, 312-644-6767. We're going to get back to your calls. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
I feel like that against anybody we play against. We were joking, of course, on that podcast. It was about the painted nails, but I don't care who I'm playing. It could be my best friend. You know, when we step on the field, you're my enemy. I'm gonna welcome KB back to playing Tennessee Titans. The same thing. Like I have that mindset to win, no matter who it is. But that was a joking podcast for sure. But I mean it. Like I'm. My goal is to win, especially if I could get some one-on-ones in that game. You know, my goal is to help my team get a win this game.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Jeffrey Simmons talking about what he said about Caleb Williams and the fingernail polish.
Yeah, he was on that early
podcast
kind of trash talk. All is forgiven or forgotten, maybe. He's a load. He's going to be a problem.
He's a problem.
6'4", 300 pounds, proven defensive tackle. He's got an all-pro season or two in his past, and he could be what we're talking about, a priority for an offensive line that has something to prove on Sunday. Jeffrey Simmons is one of those guys that could be a game wrecker.
Yes.
If you have a plan to run the football, he could disrupt that. If you have a plan to throw on third down and five, he could be in your face. Jeffrey Simmons, more than any other defensive player they have, maybe more than any other defensive player that'll be on the field Sunday, has the capability of disrupting the offense. He's good.
Yeah, it's not good. It's a problem.
It's a problem. But
it's all a problem, as we've learned.
He's talking about KB. Kevin Byard plays against his former team. Obviously, they got rid of him. He went to Philadelphia, and then he was cut loose, and the Bears picked him up, made him a captain. But this game probably means something to him as well because of all the time he spent in Tennessee. You've got a couple former Titans. DeMarcus Walker, we mentioned him. He's going to be on his way to a 4.5-sack season, according to Brad. And also Nate Davis. If anything's going to motivate Nate Davis, will it be playing the Titans? Maybe. One can hope.
If anything is going to motivate Nate Davis, just the very fact that you've said that, that tells me he's not a very motivated player.
Is that exactly breaking news in Chicago?
No, I don't.
That's unfortunately, that was last year, the revelation that and maybe the realization that the Bears came to. This guy needs to be pushed, prodded, cajoled. I don't know if that's going to be a problem on Sunday.
Are you sure it can't be done through love?
Tough love.
312-644-6767. Don is back on the West Side. Hey, Don.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is the real Don. This is who everybody want. I don't know what that other guy was talking about. But, so, man, I had wanted to know why the narrative is kind of changing. It's kind of like people backing off the Bears, man, like the preseason. You know, I'm not saying that everybody was head over heels saying we Super Bowl winners, but they were saying, I was hearing a lot, that, okay, amongst the teams vying to get in after the guaranteed, well, I ain't going to say guaranteed team, but after the stronger team. So we'll say the last spot. You know, people was giving that to the Bears, and I kind of think that the NFC South, after their division winner, I think we're better than the NFC South. The NFC West, after their division winner, I think we might be a little bit better than them. So I was wondering just, why that narrative has changed a little bit. And then the second question that I had, I was trying to remember as I give. I can't get in the next 3 seconds. I'm just going to let you guys go and let you guys answer that. and I still can't remember. So you guys have a great day. Once again, Don from the West Side Originator, man. Who that guy is?
Keep calling, Don. Appreciate the phone call.
Always fun to talk.
I don't think the narrative has changed, Moldy. I think that we can be honest about what we expect from the Bears. We both think they're going to be a team that wins more than they lose. I think we're both right around, not to, you know, spoiler alert for Friday morning, but I think we both have had them around 9 wins, possibly 10 if things go right. It's conceivable, as we sit here on the day and the morning of the beginning of the NFL season, the Bears could have a really good season and not make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
For a team that hasn't had a playoff victory since 2011,
let me tell you something.
That's progress.
They need to be in the mix.
They need to be in the mix.
They need to be in contention for that late in the year. That's what they need.
There's no doubt about that. And that's why Sunday matters as much as it does. You can't get off to a slow start, because if you're 0-1, you fear you're staring at 0-2. Because if you can't win the opener at home, given the circumstances, you don't feel good about going on the road and beating a playoff team in Houston. So start fast, continue progress, and I think you make some improvements and you're going to be in the mix. That's the way you evaluate the Bears.
312-644-6767. Let's try Jerry. He's on the road. Hey, Jerry.
What's up, guys? My biggest concern for the season is the offensive line. I'm really surprised because it's a lineman, and I don't think we've solidified a passing offensive line at all. It's a big concern. I think the specialty positions are taken care of. Great draft with regard to Caleb and Rome, but and some of the other guys. But offensive line, it's still a work in progress. And you're right, Nate Davis. I still think that's one of Poles' biggest mistakes.
Thanks for the phone call. I look at Nate Davis, though, Mully, and I would push back a little bit at the suggestion that Ryan Poles hasn't addressed the offensive line. They threw a lot of money at Nate Davis. Maybe it was bad money, but they did throw a lot of money at him. They guaranteed him $30 million. Also, this offseason, they pursued and targeted Ryan Bates. They got him. He's a guy they targeted. They got him. He's drafted a first-round tackle last year, Darnell Wright.
They
drafted a tackle in the third round.
Who fell because he was injured.
But he's also a guy that you have identified as a future asset.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think – and then Ryan Poles goes out and gets a veteran center. You may not have a lot of faith in Coleman Shelton. He may be just a pedestrian offensive lineman to a lot of people. But to the Bears, he's a guy that helps them get lined up and avoid these pass protection issues. So I do think they've addressed
– and they brought back their blocking tight end to help
– to help your tackles. Mercedes Lewis is essentially a glorified tackle who wears an 80s number.
Yeah.
Right?
That's fair.
So – I don't think that he has neglected the offensive line. I don't think he's maybe gotten that big wow player this offseason that you maybe wanted him to. They did that last year.
Listen, offensive lines play in unison. They play as a group, and they do have a lot of the same group back. So they presumably would know how to cover for each other and play together.
Yes, and I think that's the hope. That's also part of chemistry. That's part of continuity. That's part of cohesiveness. And that can also be enhanced by having a quarterback that puts you in the right protections and gets rid of the football quickly.
312-644-6767. Let's get back to the phone lines. We're going to do it next. Mully and Hall on the score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.